From Mark, the 10th chapter. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and we invite our children to come on up for our children's message.
Good morning. Good morning. Come on up, children. Am I the only child? Or no? Okay, yeah. Come on up. Come on up. Well, yeah. Well, welcome up. Welcome up. As you can see, I've brought with me all sorts of $1 bills. That's right. I am rich. What do you think? You got more money? Okay, well. Okay, well, anyway, I just figured I've got all this money. I'm here at church. I wanted to do good things with it. So I was thinking, I heard stuff about eternal life, about God's love, and I was just wondering, how much do you think God charges for that? If I, you think I can get myself into heaven with a couple bucks? No, not, okay, well, let's see, I got 3, 4, no, 5. How much do you think God's going to charge? Is it more than that? Wait, not more than that. What? Wait, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. I am crazy. Yeah. You're saying you can't buy God's love. Is that what you're saying? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. God loves us. Not about whether or not we spend money. So what good is money then? Can I still do good things with it? Okay, yeah? Yes, I can. What kind of good things could I do with money? Sure, yeah. You could give it to charities, the things that people that use that money to help out people around the world or here locally. Totally. Yeah, there are good things that we can do with our money, even if we're not trying to pay God for something, right? Well, let's pray. Let's pray together. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us money to share. Thank you for giving us money. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thanks for coming up here. Thanks for helping me out with this problem. All right, let's go back to our seats.
So I invite Kim and Jeremy and Jana to come on up. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So sermons are a chance for us to hear the Word of God proclaimed to us. And so today we're going to have three different folks tell us how God has been in the work in the lives of others. And through that we will hear some great news, some really kind of fun news, some good stories as well. And so this is, I think, a new thing for us as a congregation, for St. John, to have a sermon panel, but we think they might be worth it. So we're gonna go for it. I'm going to start with introduction of our speakers. So I have Kim start and then just kind of give a brief overview of your time in youth ministry or working with youth.
My name is Kim Adams, and my husband Dave and I serve as campus pastors at Concordia College in Moorhead and Crossroads Lutheran Campus Ministry at NDSU. And we both have served in youth ministry for over 20 years.
I'm Jeremy Maz. I'm here. I'm the youth programming director. I've been here for about 3 years, and before that I've been doing Bible camps and volunteering with youth groups for probably the last 10 years.
My name is Jana Brushwine. I am the preschool director at St. John Christian Preschool, and this is my 10th year.
All right. Thank you. So all three of these ministries are supported by St. John through special giving through its general fund. And so I'm going to have each of these individuals tell us what support from St. John has allowed them to do in their ministries.
Your partnership with us allows us to keep our doors open, frankly. Campus ministry is funded largely from Synod dollars, so dollars that you give to our Synod, East North Dakota Synod. A portion of that goes to us each month in campus ministry. The Synod has two campus ministries, Crossroads at NDSU and Christus Rex at UND. And the reality is that that amount of money isn't even quite 50% of what we need to keep our ministry active and functioning. And so as congregations, when you step up and make an extra gift, or you as individuals give another gift, that helps us with sustaining ministries and activities for young adults.
Well, because I'm here, literally everything that we do with youth are because of your generosity, because of this church. Aaron and I, the other youth director here, and with the youth programming committee, we are working towards creating a space for the youth here to both feel like they belong here, but also have a space to welcome each other, to serve, and to learn. As an example of that, We sent a group to the big youth gathering in Texas, and a large part of what made all 12 of them go is that they were inviting each other. They said, "Are you coming? I want you to come on this trip." Especially when we got older youth inviting younger ones, saying, "I want you to be part of this."
My ministry is the preschool downstairs, and it has been operating for 30 years. This church has graciously provided a space where we can offer a ministry to people of our community. Each year we serve, this year we're serving 90 families. We're providing a loving Christian start to children's education. Some people are members of other churches. Some don't have a church home, so coming here to find a safe, loving space with their children is a huge deal. So thank you for your financial support.
Okay. Now I want you to, and we don't have to keep going, you know, in order, but tell a story of how the gifts the congregation gives you, the support that they give you financially, has made a difference in someone's life. So it's story time.
All right. Well, I've got countless stories, lots and lots of stories. But just because we have short of time, I'll only tell one or two. Well, we went to the youth gathering a few years ago, and because of your generosity, we were able to send our 12 youth for $150, which sort of, for the first time when I was here, it felt like we had a youth group started. That's when they started sharing with each other things that they were actually learning throughout their time there. I remember at the end of one of the days, one of our youth, after hearing all sorts of stories from people at the gathering, he said, I think that I rush to conclusions too often with people, and that there's really more to the story often with people." And he's speaking specifically for people who are in prison or people who may be looked upon as sort of in negative light. He said, I can look at things from another person's perspective, that there's more to it than they're just a prisoner, or they're just this person, but they're real people. And you can see sort of the gears turning in his mind with that. I've got more, but you guys go. Okay.
Next.
Yeah.
I'll tell a story of a family that they had two young children who attended our preschool. And the first son came and left, and the second one was a few years later. And the mom came to me and she said, "My child is asking us to pray before we eat. He's saying, stop. We need to pray." And he taught his family the prayers that we say at preschool. A few months later, she came back and she said, "I want you to know we're trying out a church this weekend." And they attended. That family now she is active as a parent leading Awanas. They've joined another church, all because of the Christian atmosphere that you offer here.
I have a lot of stories like Jeremy. I'm going to just share a couple. The one thing I want you to know is that campus ministry is at its best with congregations when we understand that we share this dance together, that you all do what you do as preschoolers and middle schoolers and high schoolers, and then you pass them off, and we keep nurturing their faith, and then we send them back to your congregations, right, as your next council president or stewardship director or staff member, if you will. A couple students come to mind, though, right now. One of them, showed up at our building this fall, super scared, as a freshman at NDSU. And she walked in the building and the students greeted her and they said, "We're so excited to see you." And we started visiting, and then she started to cry. And she said, "NDSU has felt way too big. There are more people living in my dorm than lived in my hometown growing up. And I'm Lutheran and I just needed to be with my people." And then she said, "Will you be my people?" And so it is our delight to welcome her. She hasn't missed an event since that time. The other student, I'll call him Tim, has grown up in a really active church in the synod and spent their life as a Sunday school goer, teacher, youth group member, all of those things, and has felt vocation as a nudge towards church ministry or justice ministry. Found himself serving last summer over 6 weeks at Lantern Hill, which is a ministry in conjunction with the ELCA just south of the California border in Mexico. He has a heart to teach and work with students, particularly with English and Spanish. And this call has led this student to study this last semester in Uruguay. And so it is some of your dollars that help us support this young student as they nurture their faith and wrestle with vocation and call.
Wonderful. So you, if you're a friend or member of St. John, you may have received a bailing yesterday, or you'll receive it hopefully tomorrow. And it will be inviting you to consider prayerfully how you might pledge to be part of St. John's ongoing ministries. There's a little thing we did, though. I noticed that we didn't have a box on that form for volunteering. And so we've added a line. So if you're not able to give financially right now, that's totally fine. But we would love to see you involved in these ministries because it will change your life. And so now I'm going to ask the panel here to, and I sprung this on them at 8:30, but they handled it very well. They've had a little time to think about it now, so we'll see. I'm going to ask them to give you some examples of what volunteering might look like in their ministries, in their context, because all three of these ministries, they have ministry opportunities for all of you, if you're interested. Maybe not at the same time. But we'll start again.
I'll begin. We have lots of ways that people can get involved. Lois has done so many projects keeping our outdoor play space tidy. Char Grant comes and sews with us. We have volunteers who come and read with kids. But I'd like to tell you about our ambassadors that come to our program and volunteer. They are adults with disabilities who come and spend an hour or two a week, which is another way for kids to see God is alive and well in all of us and get to see different people of faith with different abilities in our area.
Thinking about ministry, youth ministry in particular, the popular thought is you know, it's better to have smaller groups. So the ratio is smaller. So you've got maybe one adult to five kids. Well, maybe more recently they've turned that around. They said they've seen that for each youth, they need five adults in their lives. And these adults can't be parents or teachers, people who are holding them accountable for things. Coaches would probably also count about with that. But just people in their lives, adults in their lives, that love them just for who they are. With our youth program, we have adults who are just with, coming along with. Oftentimes it's parents, but it's not just parents, who are part of youth things maybe that happen on Wednesdays or Friday night, and get to see, I guess, just to be part of the lives and what's going on there. And when you get to see such as, there was a family in our community who was really in a hurting time. One of our youth, or maybe a couple, invited a young lady to join a youth event and be part of that event. And it was really impactful for her at the time. And she started coming to more youth events and has really joined the youth group, saying, you know, my family really isn't involved in church, but I am. I want to be part of this. And it's because of the youth and because of the adults that are investing in their lives.
That's great. At Crossroads, we use volunteers all the time. Our office is staffed exclusively by volunteers. So if answering the phones or saying hello to college students or making coffee is something you'd like to spend some time with, we would say yes to that. We always have help cleaning our building and maintaining it. We also, on Sunday nights, have free supper for college students. So if cooking is sort of a love language that you have and you'd love to provide a meal, St. John has served a meal last year, but also there are some individuals that sign up just on their own and not with their church group, maybe with a book club or just a couple girlfriends to serve food as well. The other thing is, join us for worship some Sunday night. One of the things that our young adults say often is that they miss the diversity of a congregation, right? So they miss kids and they miss grandmas and grandpas and they miss parents, people. So Sunday nights we have free food at 5:30 and then worship is following. So you're welcome to join us anytime.
Any last sort of ripple effect or story that you thought of now that we've gone through? I talked to Jeremy between services. He's like, there are these other things that I forgot. So we've got like one or two more minutes. Anything else you wanted to share that you
of now? Oh, I shared them this time. I don't remember what I shared the first service. But our youth has gotten involved with some of the other youth programs in the area, and it's fun to see them interacting with each other and say, "Hey, wait a minute, I know you. You go to my school," and just seeing how it's not just here within these walls of St. John, but our youth are getting involved with everyone, yeah.
I would share that over the last couple of weeks, we have held a parenting class at St. John, and 80 participants have participated in the last two weekends, and we'll finish up next week. They have been church families, preschool families, and just community families. So being a support to parents in our area.
I think one of the greatest ripple effects that campus ministry has is looking around your congregations to see who has roots there. It is our work to devote time to this precious population as they understand themselves and their work in the world. And so the people that we get to work with end up as your council president or your youth worker or the person who extends grace and care at a daycare. And so that's how our ripple effects are seen years and years and years later. And it's a sign of hope and goodness in our church.